Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 16th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the agricultural news for the day. And then just after that, I'll tell you about a trip to Ukraine this summer. I'll be going on that trip, and you can too. It all happens during this Friday edition of AM580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look at how the numbers in Chicago settled on this Friday afternoon, futures from the Wheat Pit March contract, $4.68. They settled up 14 and three quarters. The May futures at 481 were up 13 and a quarter. March corn at $4.17, up 9.5. The May at 429.5, up 9.5. And July futures at 437 and three quarters. They were up 9.25. September contract, 423.25, up 8.25. March soybeans, $7.67, up 8.25. The May contract at 782.5, at 7.75 higher. And July beans at $7.95.25 finished 6.75 higher for the day. November beans, 8.16.5, and they finished up 6 cents on the afternoon. March bean meal futures at 227.30, up 220. The March bean oil at 29.91, up 15 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby March feeder cattle, $100.17.5 a hundredweight. They were down 27.5 cents. The February live cattle at 93.90 were down 22.5, and the April's at 96.55 were up 15 cents. April lean hogs at $68.50 were down 20 cents for the afternoon. Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it looks like the weather is already having an impact on the price of corn and wheat for sure, and potentially beans in Chicago. NOAA has talked a little bit about La Nina, but it finally made its way into the Board of Trade numbers today. What happened?
Well, it's interesting because we started hearing about this around Tuesday, if not late Tuesday afternoon at the latest. It would have been early Wednesday morning, and it seemed like the market just wanted to drift because of these baseline numbers. I guess the way we saw it stack up today earlier before this became a hot-button issue was that the crude was up on Nigerian problems escalating with the militants there, and the wheat was up on the hot and dry weather. But really what that kind of just seemed like that was the match that lit the stick up. The funds and the specs wanted to come in today and buy. I don't know whether it was a timing issue. I suspect part of the wheat issue was the fact that we did see a lot of buy stops hit above the 200-day moving average after we went down and tested that January 10th low. And there was a lot of talk earlier in the week in Kansas City after the baseline report came out that the USDA noted how wheat feeding was going to increase dramatically due to the high price of corn. That was again mentioned today with the funds buying the Kansas City wheat pit pretty hard again, and they did that yesterday afternoon as well. So we suspect that wheat-corn spread got down low enough that the feed demand increase played a role into the funds and the specs. But they're going to call it hot and dry in La Nina probably today, Todd, but I think the bottom line here is that they just wanted to come in and buy, and we saw, you know, the natural gas and crude up over 2%, wheat up over 3%, corn up over 2%, and the soybeans up about 1%. The indexes were showing some strong gains, too. Goldman Sachs up 2%, Dow AIG up 1%, and the Deutsche Bank up about 1.5% currently.
On the supportive side, is it good news that the wheat pit would be rallying and leading the marketplace on ideas that that particular crop will be used in feed rations more often than not?
Yeah, it is, because, you know, especially we talked about this morning with Dave a little bit about the wheat-corn spread getting so low and that the wheat needs to come back as a leadership, and it really makes sense from a perspective that USDA came out with their baseline number and jumped our ending stocks this year to about 483, I think it was, and a million bushels for carryover, and that was a bearish number, but the market has done very well with that bearish number, and we're now over 20 cents off of the lows that we just posted yesterday, the weekly lows posted yesterday. So we do see that wheat as a really nice kind of trampoline-type market to allow the corn to break out of its pennant formation and try and, you know, test some resistance up around that 420 to 425 level now.
And so is this a crop that you think can lead right on through the March 30th time frame when acreage comes out?
Well, we do have a good set of technicals now, and that's something we didn't have a week ago when we talked, is we have that 447 and a half level in March futures. It's very, very important for us in the March wheat contract. The one thing we do want to watch and see is how the wheat corn spread continues on next week. We are still a little bit worried about the three-day holiday. It seems like sometimes these three-day weekends tend to turn the tables on some of these traders' mindsets, and they come in and either liquidate the longs they've had or cover the shorts they've had. And, you know, looking at today's trade and what we've seen at the end of this week, it may be that they want to just go ahead and liquidate some long positions. Why they would do that, there's nothing there to say technically or cyclically that they need to be doing that right now, but it's something we're going to have to watch. So we're cautiously optimistic. I think one of the things we also noticed with the corn market is, you know, the December contract had a very, very good day. Again today, new contract highs, but the lead month contract, the March, still is holding under its resistance level of 420 and a half. March futures, really would be nice to see that taken out next week.
And how do you view this then longer term? What do you see? And let's talk about specifically for those producers of soft red winter wheat and how they might play this out. There were many of them that put wheat in the ground last fall on the idea that they'd be able to sell wheat at a good price, and if they didn't take advantage of it then, they've probably been wondering when the next time to sell that would be. Do you see a rally being sustained in the wheat pit?
I think with the poor demand, you're going to have to ask yourself, if you're a producer, how much can I get off of this? And that's certainly what we're telling our people, is that once you get July futures back up above $5, that's a level that's starting to be overvalued in our opinion, especially given the poor demand. Even if we're talking about future feed demand increases, our export demand is still pretty pathetic when it comes right down to it. So we're still sellers above $5. We still want to be three-quarters of the way sold as we get between 5 and 5.30 and go into, you know, break of dormancy with the vast majority of our cash sales made, but keep some unsold in case we do have some issues with dormancy and we don't get the crop that we think we should get.
Was there expectation, do you think, on the corn side that corn would rally up towards 418, 420 at all?
It's probably 75-80% odds if the wheat wants to go another 20 cents higher here. We made another 10% sale increment today with our hedgers. Took us up to 35 to 40% hedged on 07 at this 410 level. We're cautiously optimistic, like I said. If we can get the front-end March to lead us above 420 and a half, then we probably have 75-80% odds that the Dease back end futures can get us up towards that 4.25 level. But at that point in time, you're going to have to, I think, see the front end really charging hard and really pushing the back end up, or pulling the back end up rather.
How about the soy complex?
Well, that's probably where we're the fastest sellers. Our next sell target is around 825. We've said pretty plainly for the past 2 months we want to be, you know, 65-75% hedged between 8 and 8.25, or between now and March 1st, March 15th time period. So, you know, between now and the next 30 days and the next 25 cents, we really want people to go ahead and use some of these vertical calls or call positions in place and lock in these $8 new crop bean, you know, futures prices. And it'll even be $8 cash prices if we get close to 8.25. It's just an issue where the carryover level, to be able to justify this price level at harvest time, your carryover is probably going to have to be shaved by about 300 or 350 million bushels from the current 595 million, and that seems to be quite a stretch from our standpoint right now.
Any urgency in making this happen because of the South American harvest?
Yeah, that's why we put the time deadline on it, between the South American harvest, and, you know, we've been blessed with the northern Brazil areas having some delays due to wet weather and maybe shifting some of our demand back to the United States, so the time factor is key for South America. You bring up a good point there. It's key also going into the prospective plannings and the baseline report that USDA is going to be telling us here in the next 15 to 30 days.
All right. Anything that we need to talk about in the outside markets more than we have already, or the livestock?
Well, the livestock markets are starting to build in quite a premium due to that winter weather we talked about last Friday. We suspect that if it eases in terms of temperatures, we're going to see a lot of market-ready cattle and market-ready hogs go to the markets and feedlots. Especially feedlots will let go of a lot of cattle. So we'd probably be making strong recommendation here to go ahead and get your cash cattle moved especially.
We appreciate you being with us, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Friday afternoons.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. Our own AM580's Ed Kieser forecast for the two-state region tonight says in Illinois, cloudy, some snow becoming widespread during the evening and continuing overnight. In Indiana, becoming cloudy, snow arriving in the western sections by midnight and elsewhere after midnight. Lows will range from 12 in northeastern Indiana, says Ed, to 28 in the far southern parts of the state of Illinois. Tomorrow, skies will be cloudy with snow showers in Illinois and widespread light snow in Indiana, becoming windy with considerable blowing and drifting snow in the open areas. Highs tomorrow will range from around 20 in northern Illinois to 34 in the far south. Dave Dickey's here now with a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson wants to tie supplemental appropriations for the war in Iraq to extension of the Milk Income Loss Contract Program and agricultural disaster aid. Peterson wants to extend the milk program 1 month. That would mean the Congressional Budget Office would be required to include the program in its baseline projection for the 2007 Farm Bill. And Peterson is seeking more than $3 billion in agricultural disaster aid for crop years 2005, 2006, and 2007. Senate Finance Chair Max Baucus and U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab yesterday sparred over Presidential Trade Promotion Authority. In hearings yesterday, Baucus told Schwab there will be no TPA renewal unless the administration does more about trade enforcement and protection of U.S. jobs.
There's this sense, I think, in the Congress that the cooperation has to be better, and Congress is going to try to find ways properly to intercede its role in trade. And I just urge you to respect that, understand that, and not fight it, but get to yes. What should those provisions be? So that'll help very, very much.
And Schwab warned if TPA is not extended, U.S. producers will suffer.
If the United States walks off the field, which is effectively what we do if we don't have trade promotion authority, other countries will continue to negotiate bilateral and regional deals as they are currently doing that are going to exclude us. And that is likely to be to the detriment of our negotiators.
Administration officials say a TPA extension is needed to complete bilateral deals with Peru, Colombia, and Panama. Meanwhile, U.S. and South Korean negotiators will meet the week of March 5th in Seoul to continue bilateral free trade talks. A seventh round of negotiations ended earlier this week with no breakthroughs on agricultural tariff issues. The highest-ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee predicts the 2007 Farm Bill will have $18 billion less than the 2002 version. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley told an audience in Iowa that he hopes to get some of that $18 billion back for conservation programs and biofuel development. Senate Agriculture Chairman Tom Harkin has introduced a measure to help independent cattle and hog producers. Harkin says the Competitive and Fair Agriculture Markets Act would help producers in several ways.
My legislation would clear away legal obstacles caused by recent court decisions that prevents producers from bringing cases directly against packers to recover damages for unfair, manipulative, or discriminatory market conduct. The bill provides important protections for producers using production contracts so they know what's required of them by the firm. It prohibits confidentiality clauses so that producers are free to share a contract with family members or a lawyer, and ensures that producers who have made a sizable capital investment don't get their contract prematurely terminated without reason.
Harkin says he hopes to use introduction of the bill as a springboard to develop what he calls a competition title in the 2007 Farm Bill. The Center for Veterinary Medicine is looking into antibiotic usage at ethanol plants to make sure that usage does not exceed safe levels. A spokesperson for the CVM says the agency is in a fact-gathering mode to learn current practices. There is a growing concern among livestock producers that residue from antibiotics is showing up in dry distillers' grain. Antibiotics are often used in ethanol production to slow bacterial growth in order not to inhibit the fermentation process. And Japan has banned beef shipments from a Tyson plant in Nebraska after finding undocumented boxes of rib meat in a shipment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that you can hear that program, Commodity Week, on our website this evening by about 6 o'clock. Should be posted there. It's WILLAG.org. Dave Dickey has graciously posted a new version of the website. If you haven't seen it or used it just yet, we hope that it makes it a little bit easier to get around our ag website. You still go to the same homepage, which is WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. After 6 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to download and listen to Commodity Week. It'll be in the podcasts section, along with the MP3 files and market analysis sections. That's all right there at willag.org. Well, up next, farmers and others are invited along on a trip to the Ukraine this summer. I'll tell you a little bit more about what you can expect to find there in the former Soviet Republic. Ukrainians have a saying. It's short and to the point. Ukraine, we are not dead yet. This new nation came into being after the fall of the Soviet Union. Up until that point, it had always been conquered or occupied, but never self-ruled. Invaders came and they took from Ukraine often over the centuries. Its wealth, like that of Illinois, lays in its soils. Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. This summer, University of Illinois Extension farm business educator Kevin Brooks and I will return to Poltava in Ukraine to further explore its agricultural production industry, and you're invited. On this tour, you will learn about the history of the region under the former Soviet system, find out what happened during the collapse of the Soviet government, and see up close what life is currently like in Ukraine. The tour will take us to former collective farms, now operating as cooperatives or private farms. Agriculture production and processing facilities will also be toured. Wheat harvest should be in full swing. Visits with local village officials will give us an insight as to where this potential agricultural giant currently ranks in its struggle for development. Those interested in going on the mid to late July tour should contact me, Todd Gleason. Just search Google for my name, or call 217-333-9697. Now be warned, this is not an easy trip. Portions of the journey are uncomfortable. We'll stay at educational institutions part of the time. These dorm rooms are on the very low end of the scale. If you have a traveling spirit and are willing to brave unforeseen complications, then you should sign up. If you want to stay in a nice hotel and ride a tour bus, don't even think about this trip. Rural life in the Ukraine is without modern conveniences and luxuries. Be aware that this trip does not include facilities or vehicles with air conditioning. Away from the center and city locations, indoor plumbing may not, in fact, is rarely available. We will, however, spend two nights in the capital city of Kiev, where life is somewhat modernized. The cost of the trip include airfare, lodging, and in-country transportation, and it's approximately $3,000 per person, but that's subject to change before flight booking. Price does not include the meal. There is a rare opportunity here to learn and experience a culture vastly different than our own, and in a real and up-close setting. I hope you'll join Kevin Brooks and me. If so, call us at 217-333-9697. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Time now for our daily look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
You're not where you usually are today. Where are you in?
Well, I'm having a meeting in regard to the Gibson City ethanol plant, so I'm in Gibson City today at Alliance Grain.
You're at Alliance Grain. When I made that phone call this afternoon, I just sort of had it typed into my script, and I typed the number out, and she said Alliance Grain, and I thought, where the devil? But anyway, so you've made a trip up to Gibson City. Talk a little bit about that ethanol plant. We may contact you later to talk more about that one, in fact.
Well, that'd be great. We are progressing with the project here, still in the fundraising stage, but we are hoping to be underway with construction early this spring.
So you must not be too far away from gathering all the funds you need.
No, we're getting awfully close.
All the permits in place?
They are not quite in place, but they're close there, too. Everything seems to be falling in line.
Just as a reminder, how big will that plant be?
It'll be 100 million gallons a year.
And you'll be contracting grain for that plant, if I remember correctly. Right?
Yes, the company will be buying through local dealers.
Okay. Let's talk about the cash grain market in a different form. Actually, have you got an idea of how much the local grain bids might be bumped because of that? Is it, most people say a nickel, but do you have a better idea than that?
Oh, I think that is probably reasonable. Ethanol plants tend to be a little bit spotty in their bidding. They will try and put coverage on out for an extended period of time. They're comfortable with having a longer-term purchase bought in. And as they sell ethanol in several month packages, they try to buy corn in against that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, sometimes a little bit spotty. They'll be aggressive and put coverage on and then step out of the market for a while.
I understand. Let's talk about spot coverage, in fact, of the grain market at this point. Cash basis holding up with the rallies in Chicago?
The cash basis has hung in pretty well here. Earlier in the week, we saw stuff backing off. We'd seen a spike in CN values down to the Gulf with the disruptions on the river system. Now, as they started throwing warmer temperatures into the forecast for next week, earlier this week we saw basis back off more steady here the last couple of days. We hit the $4 magic number today at several of the elevators, so we had a pretty good chunk of offers got filled today. The actual new sale phone calls maybe were a little bit quieter than I anticipated.
And do you think farmers are holding out for what on their next step?
Well, and part of it, I think, is that they were looking at $4. They had offers set, and now they're trying to decide where the next one is, and that an awful lot of cash has already moved for the old crop.
Mm-hmm. And then if you look ahead to the new crop, what kind of bids are we talking about?
Oh, we are not to that $4 level there. We're at the, you know, we're seeing central numbers in the 380s, 390s, so we're getting close, and that next magic number, you know, you get that close to a round number, I don't think you buy anything until you get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your bids for the day are?
I don't have them right now.
Oh, that's okay. You know, I should have known that you weren't at the right elevator and that you wouldn't have your bids for the day. Do you know what Alliance's bids for the day are?
I'm not sure if these are today's or yesterday's. Oh. Looks like the yesterday's ones are up on the board right now.
Oh, that's okay. I won't have you repeat those then. Thanks much. We appreciate it, Bruce.
Okay, thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Chief Alinawek only has two more performances at University of Illinois athletic events. The university announced this morning that it was retiring the chief. They say that they will put them in compliance with NCAA rules against what it calls hostile or abusive mascots. The U of I had been banned from hosting postseason tournament play. Board President Lawrence Epley says the decision is just one step along the way to the trustees' original intent of a consensus resolution on the chief. He says the board did not have to take a formal vote on the matter, but he had conferred with individual members. The university says it's gotten assurance from the NCAA that sanctions against the school would be lifted because of the decision. Epley hopes to see some elements of the traditional halftime, such as the 3-1, continue. Supporters of the chief say they're very disappointed by the decision, and an attempt to block it this morning failed in court. Circuit Judge Michael Jones ruled that two students who portray the chief would not be hurt enough to justify a temporary restraining order against that retirement decision. Jones turned down the request, though he said personally he would have wanted the Board of Trustees to challenge the NCAA sanctions in court. He ruled that his court had no business interfering with the board's choice. One student who watched the court hearing this morning says it's not happy with the U of I's continued wish to treat Chief Alinawek with reverence. Raymond Morales called the hearing in the latest round in a sham, and the university, he says, is miseducating people about what's appropriate Native American imagery. Illinois basketball player Jamar Smith will not play for the rest of the season after he injured himself in a traffic accident earlier this week. Coach Bruce Weber says he and Smith's family have agreed that Smith should sit out the remainder of the season. The 19-year-old sophomore drove his car into a tree in Monday's snowstorm. His passenger, freshman center Brian Carlwell, was hospitalized with a more severe concussion, but he's expected to be released sometime today, and his family is hoping he can attend the Illini's game against Northwestern Sunday, according to Weber. Prosecutors say Smith has been cited by police for improper lane usage and may face more charges. The Illinois Supreme Court has upheld the conviction of confessed serial killer Andrew Urdiales and reinstated his death sentence. Urdiales was convicted in the 1996 shooting and stabbing of an Indiana woman. He's also confessed to killing seven other women in Illinois and California between 1988 and 96. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, now joins us from the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Todd.
Tell me about this past week and how unusual a snow event this might have been.
Well, put it in perspective, the single biggest snowfall we've had here in Champaign-Urbana was back in 1999, which was 15 inches. And that blizzard, which occurred on the 1st of January. Prior to that, the last biggest storms were in the winters of the late 70s and early 80s when we had about three or four severe winters. So our normal snowfall here is just on the order of about 24 inches a season, and we picked up half of that in one storm. So that's pretty unusual for this part of central Illinois. So this was a pretty remarkable storm from many respects.
Remarkable, and we're only halfway there. We're going to get more snow tonight?
Yeah, it looks like we've got a good clipper system coming out of the northern plains and heading our way. And as Ed's been mentioning all day, the models have been very consistent on forecasting this for the last 5 days, and looks like we'll pick up some snow out of that. Should be more of the light, fluffy kind. Unfortunately, that also blows around a lot, so that'll probably contribute to some travel headaches tomorrow into Sunday. But it'll be a fast-moving system and may drop 2 to 4 inches of snow across parts of Illinois and Indiana, but then it'll be gone, and we'll wait and see what happens next week as the next system pulls out of the south and heads into the Ohio Valley.
Ed was showing me a graphic with the average temperatures on the high side for the month of February and then where we've been posting. It's cold, isn't it?
You know what? We've actually pretty much brought winter back close to normal for the December, January, February period, which is a climatological winter. We were as much as 8 degrees above normal in January. We are now getting into the 1 degree above normal range. That's how much February has offset the warmth of the first part of the season. So it has been a very remarkable month.
High should be in the 40s. We expect those anytime soon?
I don't think you're going to see that for a while. Even the models are trying to warm things up next week, but with the deep snow cover, that's pretty tough. In fact, today we're not going to get near 20 during the afternoon here. Maybe overnight temperatures will rise a bit. Until we get some significant melting of the snowpack, it's going to be tough to get temperatures too far above freezing. So I think we're going to be with the cool weather for the next week or so at least.
Man, we may have to go back and have a little talk with Phil about his predictions on February the 2nd.
Yeah, Phil was sleeping on the job this time.
It sure seems like, well, let's hope that he comes around and he's right. I suppose if we can be this cold and bring things back to a normal level, that we might heat up fairly quickly as we head into spring. Speaking of that, the 60-90s, and then there was a lot of talk about La Nina this week. What do you see?
Well, I think there's... Yeah, that's a long story, but the bottom line is I think we'll just have to take everything with a grain of salt at this point. Obviously, El Nino wasn't quite the normal El Nino that we typically we don't see the normal weather patterns that we saw with the El Nino this year, and so I think we'll just have to sort of wait and see how things shape up during the spring.
How very judicious of you. We'll let you keep that one to yourself, and we'll talk to you again next Friday, okay?
Okay, Todd.
Thanks much. Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. He joins us on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Commodity Week. Our guest will be Joe Victor of Allendale. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up our website, newly redesigned by our own Dave Dickey. The address is willag.org. We sure hope it loads faster and it's easier for you to get to the information that you want very quickly. The address is willag.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.